Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello, friends, and welcome on this Saturday afternoon to the show, Your Real Estate Today. It's Paul Jamison here, your host. So glad to be spending Saturday afternoon with you. And we are live today from the WBT studios, so it's a rare treat for us to be down here and to be available to you all. So let's start out the show. If you're a first-time listener, a long-time listener, you know that when we're live, we have the option of you being able to call us and coming on the air with us to ask whatever questions you have. And here's how you do that. George, my friend and producer, is on the board today, 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. You want to call in with a real estate question or something going on in your world related to your home. I've got Trez here, Trez Stokes, in with Norwood Armstrong and Stokes. He's in the studio. Hey, Trez.
How's it going?
Yeah, great to have you, man. Welcome to the live time. Also, Sandy Dickinson will be on first segment as well with Cross Country Mortgage, and her and I are going to talk about what's going on in our market today. Hey, Sandy.
Hi.
Great to have you with us. 704-570-1110. We welcome your calls, but we've got a lot to cover today. You know, Trez, one of the things when we were talking about what we were going to do today is, you know, there's a rampant challenge with wire fraud, right?
That's right.
Yeah. It's something when we get into it that people can do their best to avoid, but it's something that a lot of people are losing a lot of money over. But, you know, Sandy, when you and I were kind of talking about what people want to hear about today, we were talking about, you know, there's this perception, right? And this fear around 2008, right?
Right.
We were both in the business. We remember 2008. It was not fun, but it was also a time where, oh, what in the world? There we go. Sandy, you still there?
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Here.
There was a time where, you know, there was a lot of uncertainty. And 2008 came about for some very different reasons than the fear that is out there right now. And I think there's a lot of things to talk about. You know, your industry right now, rates are on the move a little bit.
Yes, they are.
Well, what do you think, Sandy? I mean, we talked about, and I shared an article with you about the deja vu of the fear around 2008. I personally don't believe, number one, we're dealing with anything related to a housing bubble. And number two, I don't think the two are even close to being related. Do you?
Yeah, they're not relatable because back in 2008, we had a ton of inventory and very few buyers. And that caused a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And that caused a lot of values to drop. Right now, we have a ton of buyers and very little inventory, a completely different scenario. And so, you know, values have just gone up like crazy, and they will probably slow as the market balances in the future. But we don't have to worry about, I don't think we have to worry about huge drops in values. In the last nine recessions, and I think we will be going into a recession, only one of those, and that was in 2008, affected the housing market negatively. All the others, the housing market was fine.
Yeah. You know, the housing market, you know, according to this guy, and I liked what he said with Fortune magazine, he was saying, you know, the housing market needs a breath. And, you know, terrible for a real estate agent to say that, you know, in his own industry, it needs to take a breather. But it does. It actually needs to take a breath. We've got, you know, this surge of millennials, sorry, Trez, has been one of the reasons that the housing market has been so heated up. We just don't have enough inventory to take care of guys like Trez, who have now gotten to a place in life where they've worked hard, they've got some money, they've got some net worth, they want to buy houses, but there's just not enough of them. Right?
That's right. And COVID really did a number on builders. It was too uncertain. They didn't want to build, and now we're way behind the eight ball.
Yeah. And, you know, what I think is also interesting that they did not mention in this article is, you know, COVID didn't really help. And what I mean by that is not just the hesitation in the housing market. It actually, COVID did help in the sense that a lot of people's net worth through this time has grown substantially. Okay. But it also messed up the supply chain. So improving homes, building homes, it threw an additional wrench into the scenario, right?
Yeah, and people realized that they were home so much that they wanted a really nice home. So they didn't want to rent anymore. They wanted something that they could work from and play from. And it's a whole different perspective now.
Yeah, it is. You know, the pools is my favorite example. You know, pools used to be a 1 in 10, 2 in 10, maybe max to the market. Mm-hmm. Now right. It's about an 8 in 10.
Yeah, everybody wants one.
Yeah, I mean, because they want to spend more time at home. They like having those pools, you know. And I'm sure that this is what I expect us to see, Sandy. And you tell me different. Trez, you're out there too. You're seeing volume, right? I expect to see prices still be on the rise. I don't know about this 28% stuff, but let's call it up to 10%, somewhere between, just let's be conservative. Everyone says 10, I say 7. 7% okay. Home increase. But I do expect the frenzy to slow down. Instead of having 6 offers, you know, maybe you have 3. You know, instead of 50 people at an open house, maybe you have 20. So I do expect things to slow a little bit, but I don't expect them to go backwards.
Yeah.
Do you agree? What do you think?
It'll be good for the first-time buyers and people that have gotten, you know, a little disillusioned that they can't get a house because, you know, people with cash are jumping in and snagging everything up. A balance in the market will be a really good thing for a lot of people.
Those darn cash buyers, Sandy.
Those cash buyers. You know, I don't like them.
All right. What do you think, Trez? I mean, you're in those circles. You're seeing a lot of closings. You're seeing a lot of people. What are they saying when they're coming to the closing table?
Yeah, I think the demand is just too high. There's too many people looking for houses. One of the questions I ask is, how many offers did you put in?
Yeah.
You know, we get 10, 12, 15.
Yeah. Yeah, the national average is 6.
Yep.
So, and that's across the country, you know, and around Charlotte, you know, we kind of buck the national trends a little bit. So I think it's important to think about the fact that, you know, you got to have your ducks in a row. You got to understand the market. You know, but every day you wait, it gets more expensive.
Yeah. And don't be scared, though, to do it. Because when I tell people their payments, they're like, oh, okay, I can handle that. And then when I follow up and tell them the rate, they're like, what? I hate that. But you got to, they're not pretty right now. And people don't realize how much they've gone up. They're in the 5s now. They're not still in the 3s like they were a month or two ago. But it's not horrible. And the payments aren't horrible.
Right. Well, if somebody wants to apply for a loan, Sandra, they want to talk to you about what a payment might be on a purchase or a refinance or a vacation property or an investment property, how do they get you?
They call my mobile, 704-577-0144.
All right. Sandy Dickinson, Cross Country Mortgage, 704-577-0144. She's been a great partner to Jameson. We work a lot with Sandy. And here's the thing I love about Sandy. If you call her, she's going to call you back. It's awesome. Thanks, Sandy, for being with us. Happy Saturday.
I enjoyed it. Enjoyed your show.
Thanks. All right, guys, we'll be back with more Your Real Estate Today. I'm Paul Jamison here with Trez Stokes. We're having a good Saturday. It's beautiful outside. Much more to come. We'll be right back. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to Show Your Real Estate Today. Hey, it's Paul Jamison, owner of the Jamison Real Estate Companies. That's Realty Property Management and Property Investment, serving the Carolinas since 2005. Happy to be with you all today. All right, so, it's so funny. Every time the red light goes on, George, I sit up straight. And if the red light goes out, I slouch back down. I got to get with that phenomenon there. All right, so... 704-570-1110. If you want to make a comment or you have a question, we're here for you. 704-570-1110. Thank you for being out there and listening to us today. We're very thankful, and we hope that you call to participate. All right, Trez, so before I start, I do have to do two quick things. Number one, I have to say happy birthday to my son. Today is his birthday. He is 39. That's my middle son, Bob, and very proud of him. He's a great young man and a great father and a good family man. So happy birthday, son. Second, I also want to thank the listeners. A few weeks ago, those that know me and have listened to me for all these years know that I lost my father. And I gave a tribute segment about him, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago. And the calls and support and notes, thank you. It was quite a blessing. Thank you all very much for that. It was very much appreciated. All right, so we're going to jump right from that into wire fraud. Here we go. Trez is a partner with Norwood Armstrong and Stokes, and he is becoming a good friend and works with our team. His team internally is top-notch, and we're just having a ball with the service that they're providing, and can't thank you enough for that. But what is wire transfer fraud, Trez? I mean, is it complicated?
Yeah, so wire fraud is basically when a scammer poses as a trusted source, usually a vendor, company, family member, attorney, and requests basically an immediate wire transfer of funds. So the fraudster usually play up the urgent need for the funds, often claiming it's an emergency as a way to emotionally manipulate the victims.
Right. Yeah, and they're receiving, as you say, fraudulently, a wire. Your wire that's intended, sometimes it goes to them, you know, irresponsibly, or they intercept it somehow, right, too, right?
That's right. The most common scenario is basically a fraudster will somehow get into someone's email address, change maybe one letter so it looks like it's coming from someone, let them know that the instructions have all of a sudden changed,
right,
and we're now changing the instructions, sending it somewhere else.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because a lot of these scammers go to a huge extent. They'll replicate the logo. They'll replicate the email signature of the person. They'll copy all their information and make it look like it's coming from that person, right?
That's right.
Yeah. I mean, it's really crazy how particular they get. So how common is this? I mean, is this something that you see a lot in the real estate industry and not a lot in the real estate industry?
So when we do our continuing education classes, the number one topic year after year is wire fraud. So yeah, it's definitely rampant in our industry.
Yeah.
We see it often. We actually had a recent attempt recent as last week in our office.
Wow.
Wow. So same situation. Had a buyer looking to send funds. One letter changed off his email address. Fortunately, the bank called to verify the instructions before sending the funds.
Yeah. So who's liable for that? In case of that fraud, you know, where does the liability lie? And can I get my money back?
Yeah. So liability really depends on the circumstances. Anywhere from the bank, the attorney, the real estate agent, all parties can potentially be liable. Seller, buyer. It really just depends on what happened. Who dropped the ball, you know, just depends on the circumstances.
Yeah. I mean, this is a little off topic, but I mean, I'm seeing like the due diligence funds right now, you know, the most common way we're transferring those is by check. But sometimes people, because there's sometimes the money is such a large amount, somebody doesn't want a check, third party certified, yeah. You know, or a personal check. So they want it wired to them directly. I mean, some of these due diligence fees are like $100,000,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then some people want to Zelle money directly to a seller. I mean, I've heard even Zelle recently has had some issues with hacking,
yep.
you know, and that kind of a cyber move. So if you have time and you catch it quickly, is there a way to reverse it?
Sometimes. It really just depends. You know, most times once the money's sent, you know, once a wire's sent, the money's gone. You can't get it back. But definitely want to call your bank as soon as possible. Ask them to reverse the wire transfer. Ask them to give your money back. But a lot of times it all depends on the receiving bank. So the receiving bank has to actually agree to reverse that transfer.
And what country it's in, right?
Exactly.
Yep. All right. So are there some best practices for preventing this kind of thing from happening?
Absolutely. You know, 2FA, security devices, VPNs, just be careful what you're doing. Be vigilant. Sometimes cashier's checks can be an option, you know. Our firm in particular only takes certified checks up to $5,000. So if it's over $5,000, it's got to be a wire.
Right.
But, you know, the easiest way to eliminate it, if it's possible, you can pick up the eliminate the email from the process. Physically have the copy of the wiring instructions.
Yeah.
That's the best way to eliminate it.
Yeah.
You know, if you see words, sometimes hackers use words like kindly or urgent. When you see stuff like that, that's an indication that you're dealing with a fraudster.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, too, because I'm always very, very clear. At the bottom of my emails, it says, I, Paul Jamison, anyone from my team, my companies, we will never request you to wire any funds ever, 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 ever. Right. But even when a client gets wiring instructions from you, this is our internal process, Dress. This is how we do it. So I say, you know, there's a message that goes out between the transaction. I just hit the screen there. Sorry, George. My arms are waving. That's the funny thing about radio. You guys can't see. I look like a crazy guy having attacks with my arms up and down and emphasis. But we get the request for the wire to go. We get the amount of money. We see the closing statements. We send it all out. And then my transaction coordinator says, hey, we need wiring instructions. Your firm then sends out the wiring instructions. And sometimes they copy me on the email. Well, then the client's going, hey, I can't find those wiring instructions. Can you send them to me? My response is, no, I will not. I said, and when you get them from Trez, you need to print it out, and when you're standing at the bank, you need to call their office, right?
That's right. And then independently verify the instructions. Don't just look at the number that's on the actual wiring instructions. Maybe Google the law firm you send the money to. Call them independently and make sure that, you know, from a second point of contact, you've reached out to them, and that's their actual instructions.
Yeah. So you're not even calling a ghosted number, right?
I mean,
there's a lot. They go to a tremendous extent. And this is a lot of money.
Right. If they're going to change the account number, they're likely going to change the phone number on the instructions to verify.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with a Google number, you know, you could be calling the Philippines given given wiring instruction, getting a confirmation of wiring instructions, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I want to talk with you about in the next segment, and you alluded to it, is also certified checks. You know, certified checks aren't 100% safe either. And then we're going to talk about common issues, not these, that could delay a closing. So when you finally get the house, we want you to get it on time. We'll be right back here on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Tred Stokes, Paul Jamison, don't go anywhere. Welcome back to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday, friends. So glad you're with us. Glad you're tuning in. Thank you for that. We're always blessed to have you. If this is Paul Jamison here with the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Management, Jamison Property Investments. It's kind of weird hearing my own commercial during the break in the show, but hey, kind of like it. You know, it's always good. I'm like, who is that guy? Oh,
better than an interview, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's right. Better than the other guy. I'm here with Trez Stokes with Norwood Armstrong and Stokes. Welcome again. Glad to have you with us. We're live today, so the phone lines are open. We're here to take any kind of real estate question you may have. I'm going to have to maybe run a contest or something to see if there's people out there breathing today. I mean, there's such a nice day outside. They got to be in their car, I'm thinking.
They were in the car when I was driving.
Yeah, yeah. 704-570-1110. All right, if you want to talk to us. All right, so certified checks. You don't even like them. Up to $5,000.
That's right. We'll take certified checks up to $5,000 if you want the wire.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is. Have you had issues with certified checks in the past?
The problem with the certified checks is you know, the $5,000 limit, that's the risk we're willing to take. Someone can actually go in and stop payment on that check. So, post-closing, they can cancel the funds, and then we're kind of left out to dry.
Yeah, we don't want you out to dry, man. Yeah, like you said before, it's a lot harder to reverse a wire, right, than it That's is right. to I think the IRS can reverse a wire. We need their secrets, right? And right, especially when there's fraud.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So can I bring cash? Why don't I just bring a big old bag?
Yeah, we'll take cash up to small amounts. Really just prefer, we'll take a personal check up to $500, but really just don't want to accept cash. We'll take small amounts, particularly if you're getting a loan. Your lender's going to want to source the funds and want to know where they're coming from, so it's probably not a good idea to bring a wad of cash to for closing. If the lender can't source it, it may hold you up.
Yeah, that's true. So, Sandy, can I bring some Silver Eagles and some cash with me to the closing? Where did that come from?
Yeah, exactly.
Probably not a good idea. But, you know, hey, it's worth asking, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was just sharing with George and with Trez at the break that we have recently had experienced some check fraud, even in our own office, where people were making checks, you know, with our account number on them. They were flagged by the bank. But, I mean, check fraud is out there right now, and it's rampant, and it's happening. And, you know, certainly the thankful part about that is that the bank flags them and catches them, and, you know, but still, it's amazing, you know, Trez, the amount of things that people are doing to steal. It's just, it's mind-boggling. All right. Well, okay. So before we call up the we've got actually a caller that's getting put in the bank right now. Oh, what do we got here, George, before we go on to the next subject? Mother owns a tenant in common in Gaston County and can't get homestead exemption. All right. Throw Spencer up on here. Let me see if we can. Hey, Spencer, how are you?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good. hey, it's nice to know somebody's out there today that's listening to us. Otherwise, we're just kind of talking to ourselves.
I'm actually working in the yard, but when the call came up, I popped it off of speaker and went to regular.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you. 704-570-1110. Oh, looks like a couple other people are awake. Well, how can we help you, Spencer?
Okay, to make a long story short, my mom had to go into a long-term care facility.
Uh-huh.
She had more payments due on the condo than she had money because her income is Social Security. Medicaid takes that. So we sold the condo, bought a piece of property in Gastonia.
Yep.
And my wife and I are 1%. My mom is 99%. It's a tenant in common.
Uh-huh.
Why is Gaston County refusing to give her a homestead deduction on her tax, her property tax?
Is it a land or is it a house with land?
It's a land. Nothing on it.
I don't know.
There are houses on either side, houses across the street, houses all over the place. It's a very high, high market.
Yeah, it's a great area, as
property.
You know.
I'm on the lake.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I tell you what, Trez, if you don't know the answer, because I don't, relate it to the homestead based on whether it's vacant land or actually a house, we may have to, Spencer, get back to you and answer that. Trez, do you know?
So I would definitely want to verify this, but you said it's just vacant land?
It's a lot that
yeah.
a four-bedroom house can be built on.
Okay. Yeah, I would think one of the requirements, and you know, don't quote me on this, I think it has to be the applicant's primary residence.
Yeah, that's
so I think there actually has to be a dwelling on the property. So that may be tripping you guys up, but I would want to verify that.
Hey, Spencer, did you leave your number with George?
Yeah.
Okay. Can we follow up with you and get you an answer?
Yeah.
All right. Because I don't want to guess. And Trez is obviously an attorney. He won't guess. So... I do want to follow up with you about that because that's a great question.
Okay.
So, all right, we'll follow up with you. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, friend. I appreciate it. Happy Saturday to you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Paul.
Thanks for calling. How can I help you, friend? What happened?
Well, I'm a CPA. I mentioned it only because I deal with a lot of stuff.
Uh-huh.
CPAs deal with.
Uh-huh.
And our company's bank statement, there was an ACH credit out of our account. And it was not a huge amount, less than $1,000. But when I called the bank, they said, no, with an ACH, when that money goes, you have to alert us within 24 hours or nothing will necessarily be fixable.
Wow.
And I said, I never heard of such a law.
I've never heard of that either, Mike.
Wells Fargo, and I went to four different people, and they all pretty much said pound sand. I can see why wires on house closing could be quite dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you. I mean, here's the thing, Mike, and I'm glad you brought it up, you know. And by the way, I hope you're getting some rest after the tax season. I'm sure you'll keep going, but man, I know how you guys work.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing about it, even the ACHs and all of this that's going on right now, the point that we're trying to make, and I think you bring that up in a good light, is that, you know, there's so much of it. You never know exactly where it's going to come from. And for you to say that it showed up on your statement through an ACH, if you don't monitor your money every moment, there's chances you're not going to catch a lot of that stuff, right?
That's exactly what I told the bank. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and you know, we're very diligent about our finances. But, you know, we don't have the tools and devices to see when things happen like that. So I'm glad you brought it up, and thank you for participating. It's something people, that's why I wanted to talk about this subject, is we're hearing about it more and more and more. And it happened to me last week.
Okay.
You know, so it's, yeah, it's just crazy. So
well,
thank
I appreciate you taking my call.
Yeah, friend. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thanks, Paul.
704-570-1110. You want to make a comment? We'd love to hear from you. But also, let's talk about, you know, and start the conversation. There's some common reasons why closings are delayed. So you go through all this, your truck is packed, you're out of the house, you are ready to go, you're at the attorney's office, and then you get the, oh no, right? There's nothing worse than that feeling, right? And even the dog's packed. You can't breathe in there. Put some more holes in the box, Mabel. But anyway, I'm just messing. There's a overlying umbrella that we're going to get to after the break that talks about how to avoid some of this stuff. But I'm going to work with Trez and talk with him. We're here for you, 704-570-1110, if you'd like to call and chat with us. The Show Your Real Estate Today, Paul Jamison, Trez Stokes, on the WBT News Talk 1110-99.3 Ty Boyd Studios. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We're enjoying Saturday with you. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, owner of the Jamison Real Estate Companies. That's Realty, Property Management, and Property Investments, here with Trez Stokes with Norwood, Armstrong, and Stokes. We're talking real estate. We're here and available. Thank you, previous callers. We now feel like there are some folks out there that are not just out on the water or walking, hiking, jumping, swimming. 704-570-1110 if you'd like to talk with us or make a comment. We are here related to real estate. That's what we're talking about. So what would actually slow up a real estate closing? Well, first, when the representation really does not, we call it inexperienced representation. And the reason I say that is because COVID brought a lot of people into our industry that learned how to be in this business online. Now, that's not a bad thing, I'd say, because there's a lot of good people that have entered our marketplace. But there's a lot of people that don't understand the back and forth that it takes. The real estate license is there so that you understand the rules and the laws. How to actually transact in that business is very different. It's like being in a driving simulator to learn how to go to drive. But when you're actually behind the wheel of a 4,000-pound car, 6,000-pound car, it's very different than sitting at your computer playing the game. You can memorize the motions. You can memorize where the brake and the accelerator are and the rules of the road. But when you're at it and there are other things coming at you, the rules somewhat change. So that's what I mean by that. Next, sales contract contingencies can tie up a closing. For example, repairs maybe that were not completed, things that were not done, tasks that were apart. I've had some situations where the refrigerator was gone, which was a contingency of the sale. And then they had to bring the refrigerator back and refuse to sign until the refrigerator came back. I've had that happen a few times, mostly with that or the washer and dryer, you know, or a mirror. Bathroom mirror has been another one. A lot of people think your bathroom mirror, a lot of times it's a frame mirror that somebody hangs up over the sink like a picture. You don't have to leave that unless you specify it. You know, the ones that are bolted down, not bolted down, you know, screwed in, they stay, right? But the bathroom mirror, it has left many times. So now I even talk about it. All right. Another is title defects, Trez, right?
That's right.
So what are some examples of things that can happen there?
So some of your examples would be a prior owner, deed of trust, IRS liens, gaps in title. So a common delay we'll see in title is a prior owner deed of trust. So this is when a previous or deceased owner still has a mortgage that's hanging out on public record and it was never canceled. So with that, you know, maybe they actually paid it off, but the lender didn't file a satisfaction. So it's just still on public record and it's got to be addressed.
Yeah, that happens a lot, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see that a lot. Any other things?
Yeah, definitely IRS, Department of Revenue liens. It can take a while to get these payoffs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, or rule them out. It can take a while.
We don't like those. Yeah, because they're not going to go away.
That's right. Yeah,
they're going to trump a lot of things.
Yep. And, you know, definitely gaps in title can take a while to address, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
An example is potentially when title search comes back and the name on the contract doesn't match the owner of the public record. So there may be a few estates missing that they were never filed to kind of establish chain of title there.
I can see where that would be a little bit of a problem.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, with the fact that you all do your title work in-house, you find out some interesting things. The nice thing is you find them out faster.
Super helpful. Yep, yeah. Super helpful to find them out quickly.
Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. Appraisal issues can be a problem, you know, and that can slow things out, especially if the appraisal is disputed. That can put a real hitch in the giddy up of a closing, no question about it. Property surveys and survey issues. Oh, Trez, please.
That's right. This one's tough because, you know, we always recommend a survey for a single-family residential home. But surveys are so busy right now because, it's taken potentially sometimes 3 or 4 weeks to get a survey back because the guys are just busy in the field. But, yeah, we definitely recommend surveys. I've seen some crazy stuff. So maybe worst example I've seen on a survey is a easement running under someone's house. So this would actually permit the utility company to literally tear down that portion of the home to access the easement.
Are you kidding?
True story.
Oh, my goodness. Who would build a home on top of that? And was it, I mean, how do you insure, how does the title company even insure over that? They can't.
Yeah, that would be an exception. That someone that didn't get a survey would probably be somebody that built a home over an easement.
Oh, my gosh. You know, I've seen where I've seen most of the issues have been a fence.
That's right.
And in a lot of the older neighborhoods, they'll build the neighbor will build a garage. And you see this a lot in Dilworth, South Charlotte, in the older neighborhoods. You'll see it in Uptown. Where, like, you look and there's a structure that's hanging over the neighbor's lot line, right?
That's right. I would say more commonly than not, when I review a survey, there are some encroachments with fencing. Neighbors on your side or you're on the neighbor's property. So I would say more common than not, you have these encroachments.
Yeah. And as long as people understand the encroachments are there and give notice that they acknowledge that the encroachment is there, I've seen 99% of the time it can get worked out.
That's right. Yep. And if people want, we can definitely draft easements or agreements that address these encroachments. So maybe, you know, after they rebuild or repair their fence, they just make sure that's repaired on their own property.
Yeah. Well, and this was a long time ago, I had an issue where I was selling my home and the fence, everything was honky-dory. And then when we bought, everybody was in compliance. And then when we sold, there was a one side, they were all good. Everything was good with the encroachment. The other side was not. And so I had to take the fence completely down prior to selling to make sure that I wasn't going to move it. I'm just like, no, I'm not moving it. But I'll take it down. So I took a split rail fence. So I went out there and I just cut the bottoms of the split rails off, piled it off, hauled it off, gone. So no more encroachment. All right. Inspection and repair issues. We still see that occasionally. You know, that's why you want to be on top of those things prior. And, you know, there's always the back and forth around who is doing the repair, the quality of the repair, the need for reinspection. So make sure you put checks in those boxes before you do your final walkthrough. Lender underwriting issues, conditions not met. Online lenders not even telling us that they're not even ready to close. That drives me insane, insanical, as my friend used to say. You see that a lot. That's one of the reasons I love working with Sandy, is because she is local. She's here. You know, she's getting stuff done. A lot of these online lenders, they just quit answering their phone when you get close to the closing. You don't even know there's a problem or that they're delayed or behind. It's so frustrating. Have you ever had that happen where all of a sudden the package just never comes, Trez?
Oh, yeah. Sometimes we're waiting, actually, for you got the buyers there. We're still waiting. It's going to be here in 10 minutes. We're going to be here 15 minutes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if somebody, and we've got just some quick things, buyer buys things before the closing and they're not there. House is not empty and ready to close. Delay in the lender paperwork. Of course, we said that. And dispute over the closing costs. Ability to prove identity. Sometimes there's a little problem there. And number one is communication. If people aren't communicating, what is going on? So, if they want to talk to you, Trez, how do they get you?
They can reach me at 704-529-1100 or NorwoodArmstrongLaw.com.
That's great. Great job. Great to have you, Trez. If you need me, 846-DONE, 846-3663, or on the web at myjamisonhomes.com. God bless. Happy Saturday. Talk to you next week to Show Your Real Estate Today. News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Take care.